We all love a good Sunday session.
Frothy time!
Oh. And this Sunday session comes to you.
Oh, how good!
This is the Rush Hour Sunday session.
The best of JB and Billy
on Triple M.
Lockdown is over, Daisy, and we can get back out there for a nice Sunday session.
Oh, and you can't beat one off the wood on a Sunday. And you, Bill, you can't beat your old mate Todd from Bowen Heads. He was back this week and he had your measure.
That silly flog. Fair dick, I'm going to grab him one day. He won't know what's got him. We'll also speak to Aussie T20 captain Aaron Finch. Plus, I'll give you two very good jokes.
And we'll also have an idiot song where we put your cock-ups to music. I don't know how we haven't used this song before, to be completely frank, Bill.
That is true. I am a all-star. But next, we speak to a bloke who retired from the Pies. You played with him, and then he went to Port Adelaide. Tyson Goldsack.
It's not often we have two Collingwood Premiership heroes on the show.
This man was an absolute favourite of Triple M footy.
Goes across the face, the sack lights his chances from 50.
Sack
found his way through, and Gold Sacks kicked it, I reckon, three in a row to the Pies.
So we were all saddened at the end of 2019 when he announced his retirement.
I'm fairly nervous, to be fair. It's my time to say goodbye.
But hallelujah, this year he's back with Port Adelaide. Please welcome Tyson Goldsack.
The sack indeed, one of our favourites here, Daisy. No doubt about that, 165 games at Collingwood, 2010 Premiership player, and also kicked the first goal of that game and made some people very, very happy indeed. Welcome, Tyson. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, Mum's still got a smile on her face.
Don't worry about the smile on her face. She put a second level on her house out there and packing it with that. The only bloke to come off the bench, started on the bench for all those who've forgotten. No goals kicked in about the first 6 minutes. As a backman, you've just somehow snuck on, wandered forward and kicked one from the top of the square.
Oh, Daisy, you're a natural goalkeeper. Things just happen in football like that. And chances have it, we're in the house of the second story in Pakenham too, so everyone's winning.
You could actually buy Pakenham. Now, what's going on, Goldie? You retired 2019, then you bob up in Adelaide, of all places, 2020, Port Adelaide Magpies, and now you're a Port Power player. Well, how's all that happened?
Yeah, as the story goes, Adelaide are kind of a few years behind the rest of Australia, they say. So they thought I was still actually playing on a list. So they signed me up and thinking they're getting this kind of, you know, fresh-faced 25-year-old ready to go. But little did I know, I'm 33, going on 74 by the way my body feels. But no, it's been good. Coached last year and obviously in different circumstances, and we've found a little loophole to allow me to play mainly in our second tier division. And I had to be on the list to get it done. So here I am.
So it is definitely a loophole, because I was chatting about that off air. And so it's a loophole, so you can pretty much be the helping out the younger players whilst on a list, getting paid outside the soft cap.
It is, yeah.
But you're playing.
I'm playing, yeah. I wear number 50.
I saw that. That's a heavy number.
heavy number, as if I'm not heavy enough with a very limited preseason, just the way I like it. Daisy, you know that.
And how is the mood generally down there? Obviously, a fantastic season last year, just stumbling one before getting to the big dance. But surely the mood would be fantastic, and yourself there just bringing it up, no doubt, day by day?
Yeah, absolutely. I try and keep the positive energy up, days, you know that. But no, it's we haven't lost a game yet, so the energy has to be high, as is every club at the moment. And everyone's had a great preseason. Everyone's looking forward to round one. We love it.
This is what I was after. I was after a few throwaway lines that we could have come back and burnt you with.
What about little Chubster, a little chubby midfielder there that plays for Port, Tom Rockcliffe? How's he going? Has he put on weight or lost weight?
He hasn't put on weight, but gee, he's got a soft little rig, doesn't he? I was looking the other day for a guy that's so soft and not overly strong, and he's not quick, and his skills aren't that great. Yet he's just still rolling around. And I think he'd appreciate me saying that, but just a very smart footballer and quite a smart ass man as well. He got married the other week, and I reckon he put on 10 kilos over the weekend. So he'll have to work that off.
That's been one of the great assessments of someone of all time. He can't kick, he can't run, he's soft, and he's not strong. And you're meant to be doing the good thing down there.
I tell you what, out of my jurisdiction.
Yeah, that's very good, very smart, because I'm not sure if you can throw him or not, but you might be in a bit of trouble down there. What about the other old boy and a bloke that I was absolutely loving watching last year, the captain, Travy Boak?
Yeah, not captain anymore, but ex-captain.
Yeah, perfect.
Going well. He's the ultimate professional. We know that, so he's kind of ready to go year-round, and he's just kind of holding out for games now. But, yeah, he started well on the weekend, but I think it's just a matter of time before he gets himself really fired up for round one.
Who is captain?
I think
Jonas.
Captain's TJ. Yeah, Tom Jonas. Thanks for following along at home, Dave.
Yeah. I actually caught a lot of your games last year. It's pretty poor of me because I probably referred to Boak as captain many times. Think, so apologies to Tom if he's listening.
Matthew Primus.
He won't.
Thanks, Tyus. Great to speak to you again. One of our favourites here on the Rush Hour, and all the best with your future too. Good on you, Goldie.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Right now, it's time for this.
Nobody has their finger on the pulse quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, what are we doing?
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today? Unusual.
Unusual indeed. And there's a couple of big ones, Daisy. Don't worry about that.
You'll be all over this because you are the sports aficionado of this show. The Greater Shepparton City Council is still hoping to host the 2030 Commonwealth Games.
What?
Well, yes. The Greater City Council of Shepparton, 2030 Commonwealth Games. And they've got an idea that it's not exactly going to be held in Shepparton, but they're going to spread it around a bit.
They're going to share it, and it's going to be the regional games. I like this idea. I reckon it's fantastic. So Shepparton are the leading bid, but they're going to share it between other regional cities, including Bendigo, Ballarat, Geelong,
please.
Of course. Imagine there what you could do at GMHBA with the lights and all that. That'd be magnificent. You've got the beaches. You've got the waterfront, whatever you want. You can hold anything down at Geelong. You've got Mildura. That'll be interesting up there with the paddle steamers. They could have a race.
official sport.
Wodonga, not sure. And Warrnambool, where I know the boat's the shipwreck coast up there or down there at Warrnambool. So that is good. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? This is 2030, as you said, the Commonwealth Games. And they could be all regional, but what does it say at the bottom of it?
I'll tell you what, the big bit in bold italic says, but not Melbourne.
Oh,
they absolutely want no part of it. So it's obviously their pitch is all based around COVID-19 and being regional in those parts, a bit more or a bit less density of population.
I love it, especially down here at Geelong. It'd be magnificent. The weather, you got the beaches, you got everything. It'd be fantastic.
Well, hey, we've actually got a call coming through, which is unusual for training. Ben from Bendigo. How you going, Ben?
Yeah, g'day, guys. Just wanted to call and say what a great job you're doing this week. Well done, Daisy, particularly from you. Doing a great job.
Nah, thanks, Benny. Well, what are your thoughts, mate?
From Bendigo,
that they get a mention there. What sports would you like to see hosted up there?
It's really exciting between Ballarat and Bendigo, but I wouldn't go to Geelong because it's Todd from Bowen Headstone, you idiot. And I'll tell you what, if I was a Canadian long jumper and I found out that I had to compete in bloody Geelong, I reckon I'd just take a rain check for 4 years. All the gold medals in the world wouldn't make it worth it. You know what? There's a big danger. They could start the marathon from Pakenham Street down there. None of them would turn around and come back to the finish line. They just keep on running to Avalon. Still picture the opening ceremony. They just light the cauldron, get some locals from Corio to torch a Ford Falcon in the middle of Cardinia. That would work.
Todd,
and by the way, while I've got you, mate, I haven't spoken to you since the grand final. Didn't your boys come home with a wet sail that night? What a performance. Did you give Dangerfield a pep talk at halftime? He came out looking like you in the third and in a grand final, mate. What a performance.
Cut him off, Rabs. That dickhead's not allowed.
He's hung up. He's dropped the mic. He's dropped the mic.
Rabs, don't put him on. You knew he was coming on.
It's Ben from Bendigo.
He's Ben from Bendigo.
He's run through to talk up his town. And he's done the opposite. He's talked down too long and torched him.
Who knows a bigger flog? Him or Brayshaw?
Australia's T20 squad is over in New Zealand ahead of a bumper series.
Our next guest holds the highest individual score for a T20 international, 172 off 76 balls.
Oh my goodness, that's gone a long way as well. That's also going to clear the boundary. That's 10 sixes.
On Monday, he captains the Aussie T20 side against the Kiwis.
And on their postage stamp grounds, that record could be in danger.
This guy can strike it miles.
Please welcome Aaron Finch.
Ah, yes, indeed. Old Finch is one of our favourites here at the Rush Hour. Colac boy, of course. Barracks for the Cats. Captain of the Australian T20 side. And how you travelling, bro?
Yeah, very good, mate. It's been in quarantine. Well, we've been in quarantine over here for, this is day 11, but we've been able to get out and train and walk around a little bit as well. So today was our first day of sort of match situation scenario type stuff, and it's been really good, actually.
Gee. So 14 days locked away, like exactly like here, I assume, but you're allowed to get out and train as a group?
Yeah, we get out each day from about, we leave at 9 a.m. and get home about 2 o'clock. So that gets us out of the hotel, run around, do plenty of skills. And there's also like a courtyard area that we can walk around here at the hotel. So it's been managed really well, and everything's gone nicely so far.
How have you found it, as well as you've obviously come off the BBL season as well? So sort of bubble to bubble, if you will. How's the mindset going into this big series?
Yeah, it's all right now. It was getting towards the back end of the Big Bash and sort of going from the UK tour, which was in August, and then straight onto IPL and then back into the Australian summer. It wore me down a little bit for a while there. But to get 10 days at home and spend with my wife and just chill out and play some golf was nice, actually, after quite a pretty hectic few months on the road.
Because it didn't really go that well for the Renegades, let's be honest. But how does
either
it...
for Finchie, to be honest?
No, well, but this was what I was going to ask. How does it go? Because you're captaining a side that isn't going that well, and some of the luck they had was just horrible. Blokes were dropping catches they'd never drop, misfields. Or when it goes bad, it was just going bad. As captain, how much of that takes away then from your own performance? Because we all know you're a star with the bat, 172 off 76. We hear in the opener. How much does that detract being the captain from your own performance, or have you got just to the point where you can separate the both?
Oh, I think it's important that you find the time to separate them both and make sure that you're focusing on your own performance, because that's what you're judged by at the end of the day. Do your own job really well and then worry about everyone else's after that. So for me, it was, although it didn't go well at all, I felt as though my leadership and my captaincy was probably as good as it has been for quite a while, because I was making a conscious effort to really have my own personal time in my batting preparation and things like that, which didn't go to plan. But from a team point of view, I thought that we're on a really good track to be trending up in the future. It's just a shame that we ran out of games.
You did indeed. But your own form, mate, it must be hard, because we've all had slumps. There's no doubt about it. I just can't remember.
One went for 5 years, mate.
Or the Geelong City. I made some runs every week. But and then there'd be some ways you go out, you'd think, fair dinkum, what have I done? Ran over a black cat or something. But your form wasn't great. Is it true that you put your pads and the everything away and didn't pick up a bat for 3 or 4 weeks?
I had 10 days from when we got knocked out of the Big Bash to then coming over here. So it was probably about 2 weeks all up, where I literally repacked my kit bag the morning that we were flying out, and that was it. I didn't touch it apart from that. Swung the golf club a few times, got away down to Ocean Grove and spent some time with Amy. And
I saw that. Down on the beach, holding hands, skimming stones down at Ocean Grove.
There was no hand holding. She always gets into me because she thinks I'm the most least romantic person she's ever met in her life.
Now, you're saying the harder you train, the worse it was getting. And as Bill was saying, when you're in a form slump, I was obviously once in one where I couldn't get a kick. Did you ever try saging your cricket gear? Because I once saged a pair of boots and played pretty well the next week.
What's saging?
It gets rid of all the bad juju.
Oh.
I'm not a huge believer in all of that stuff. I think that. But you know what? Towards the end of the Big Bash, I would have been willing to give anything a go, mate. So,
well, that's where I got to.
A month too late.
The Australian T20 squad for the Qantas Tour of New Zealand. I like some of these new names. Josh Phillippe's one that's been banded around a lot. How good is he? And will he bat in the top three?
Yeah, he'll bat in the top three. He's a star. He's someone who improves so quick. So I think the great thing about him is he come in and started batting in the middle order for the sixes when he first started in the Big Bash, and then made that transition to open the batting. And he's done it really seamlessly, and we've seen how prolific he's been over the last couple of years. Yep. He's someone who, I think the higher he goes, the better his game will get. Yeah. He's someone who's not overawed by situations. He's not He's not one of those guys that you look at and think, geez, he mightn't cut it at the next level, because he's got so much talent, so much skill. He's fearless as well, which you love in your young players when they're fearless and they've got that ignorance of youth still about them, which is they've got no demons in the closet. So he's brilliant. I think he's going to be a player for a long time.
And I see a couple more names here. Stoinis and Zampa, are those two still doing their coffee club? And as captain, do you just get to say, boys, pull up, you're giving us all a bad name?
Froffies, not coffees.
No, well, we're in quarantine here. So Zamp's made me my first coffee off him the other day, which was nice of him.
Is it any good?
We had an optional training session. That's beautiful, actually. Oh, okay. We had a day off training, an optional training. So he opened up the Maltese Cafe in the morning, which was just down in the courtyard there, and went out for a coffee and just to get out of your room, really, and have some human contact, which is always nice.
Oh, beautiful. Hey, well done, Finches. The T20 series, it starts Monday, Rabsy?
Yes, it does, in Christchurch, 5 p.m. Melbourne time.
Oh, perfect time over here. Hey, all the best, Finches. We're right behind you. We're all rooting for you.
Thanks, boys.
You've been back for 3 weeks now, Bill. You've had three different co-hosts. Mm-hmm. You've had an idiot file from all of your stuff-ups. And, well, it's going so well that the great people here at Triple M have put together an idiot song. Have a listen to this.
We have a new host, the only player to kick 100 games for Carlton and Collingwood Football Club. To play 100 games for the Carlton Football Club.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
Oh, was that about me?
She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead.
First of all, I must welcome our special guest, and it is a great privilege, even great honour.
Didn't make sense not to live for purpose. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb.
I'm fascinated by this. I've got no idea what cryptocurrency is.
You'll never know if you don't go.
I got asthma.
You'll never shine if you don't glow.
Hi, Jim.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play.
Okay.
Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
Gold nuggets here, there, everywhere. And then I like Eula. Put her in Seva.
Put in Seva?
That's it.
Yep, that's right. Right. So, yeah. She got built. Yeah.
And my favourite is number 32, Veronica. Could have met Rover.
Not Rover.
Yes, right. Could have met Rover. Met Rover.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go.
Tell us about the 2021 KFC AFL Super Coach Ambassadorship.
Yeah, it was
done. I will be.
Be smoking.
Well, you're doing creme le mont.
What?
Creme de la creme, maybe? Or
creme de la mont. And that's right, spot on there. I am Maddie. A all-star.
And all-star.
And all-star. Hey now, I'm an all-star. Good, that was good, wasn't it?
That is good.
What about Rui there having a bit of a chuckle? He loved it, old Rui.
Creme de la creme. What creme did you come out with?
Creme de la mort.
It's brilliant. Creme de la mort.
Live from the studios of Triple M Melbourne, it's a very special Hump Day Quiz. This week, we celebrate the plus-size sportsman.
Is that a fat joke, is it?
And now, here's your host, Billy Brownless.
Well done, Matty. And that's right, we're celebrating the big boys of sport in honour of the West Indian cricketer Rakeem Cornwell, who took, 10 wickets, I think it was, for the West Indies v Bangladesh. So we're going to ask some questions about the big boys of sport. Do you like that idea, Daze?
I love that idea, Bill, and I've sort of almost slotted myself into the category of a big boy of sport at the minute.
We've got two very, very nice contestants indeed, both down the Mornington Peninsula. And first up, we have Brocky Boy. G'day, Brock.
Bill, how you going?
Oh, and going Dave. Well, mate. Are you?
Yeah, I'm good, too. Thanks, bro. Cheers,
and
mate. Rabs, good on you.
Ramsey's here.
Yeah, I'm Rabs.
Hey, Brock, you're taking on Nathan. Nathan's there. He's from Mount Eliza, I reckon.
G'day.
Righto, seven questions. Here we go. Question one. Who did Tony Lockett play more games for, St Kilda or Sydney?
Nathan.
Brock.
It was Nathan. Very tentatively. Give it to us, Nathan.
Yeah.
St Kilda.
Yes, 183 with St Kilda and 98 for Sydney. He could have played 100 games at both clubs. There's not many blokes that do that, Daisy.
Not very many at all. So the score, Bill, after one question, Nathan 1, Brock 0.
Well done. Good
Thank
work,
you.
Daryl. We got an audio question here. Who is this, boys?
I'm handsome, I'm fast, I'm pretty, and can't possibly be beat.
Brock.
Oh, come on, boy. Yes, Brock?
Muhammad Ali.
Yes, of course it was. There's only one bloke that could talk like that and back it up. Well done. What's the score?
hang on. It's Nathan's on one and Brock's on one, Bill. One all. Very close. This one, real ring-a-ding-ding contest.
Number three, in which sport was Mexican-American Andy Ruiz Jr.? Maybe I didn't get that quite right, but Andy Ruiz Jr., a world champion.
Brock.
Come out and shock the world. Yes, Brock?
Boxing.
Yes, that was a big big win he had the last fight. Can't even remember who he beat, but he was a good fight. Now, number four, boys, here we go. Another audio question. Who is this?
I was just a person out there making sure that I was, I'm buggered. I'm sorry.
NRL champion and tried to get into politics.
Yeah, bro.
No. Yeah. Rocky?
Paul Gallen.
No. Nath? You want to go, Nath?
No, I'm tipping it's not Israel Folau, though.
No, it's not. Mal Meninga, of course. I reckon he lasted 10 seconds. At least I lasted about 2 minutes. Now,
what's your position on the independence of the Auditor General?
I still don't know what my opinion on the audio general is.
Audio general. He works upstairs here. Do you want the score, Bill?
Yes, please.
So there's been four questions. Only three have been answered, though. So Brock's streaming ahead on two and Nathan's on one.
Come on, Nath. Here it is. Multiple choice, okay? What was former North Melbourne player Mick Nolan's famous nickname? Was it A, Nolan the Swollen, B, Butterbean, C, Barjas, or D, the Galloping Gasometer?
Nathan.
Yes, Nathan.
The last one, the Galloping Gasometer.
Yes. Oh, we've got a ring-a-ding-ding.
She's all tied up.
Two questions to go. Righto, this is a ring-a-ding-ding. Audio question. Who is this, boys?
Sometimes there's more than one way to look at something. Take this Fujitsu air conditioner with renowned inverted
Nathan.
Technology.
Well, that was Brock.
Nathan.
No, yep. I reckon.
Mark Taylor.
Are
we going to have to go? Can we go to the audio for Brock? Because I thought he got in halfway through.
Ooh. No, I actually said Nathan. So sorry.
Oh, it's your quiz, Phil. Bad luck, Brock. That's three to Nathan and two to Brock.
Copy Tubby. There, Bill.
Oh, do you reckon? Oh, well, mate, I gave you some good advice. Oh, Fujitsu Taylor. Now, but you can still tie it up, and then we've got to find another question. Here we go. Question seven. What is Fatty Vorton's Christian name? His first name, boys. Fatty Vorton. Footy Show, hosted that for a while. You got to take a stab here, Brocky.
Brock.
Yeah.
Phil.
No. No, it's Paul, and Nathan's our winner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Woo. We didn't have another question. Hey, well done, Nate.
Cheers. Cheers, Bill.
Let's have a listen to the tennis or have a look at the tennis because big game last night that you actually watched, Daze.
I did. I stayed up because the first 3 days you've asked me questions about the tennis and I've been nowhere. And as you've just said, it's a sports show. So I should be across it. Big Tsitsipas, the big Greek god himself, took on Rafael Nadal. And Rafael Nadal was genuinely cruising. He had it in first. He was rolling downhill. 6-3, he won the first. 6-2. The third set was going to a tiebreaker and he had it on his racket. He had two goes at it. It was all but over. And
home. And what happened?
Well,
did he have a little break like Ash Barty's opponent might have?
Muchova. No. He didn't have anything like that. To be honest, just watching it, it looked like he came out and went, well, I got away with that. And he just started absolutely swinging for the rafters and everything was going in. He could not miss.
I tell you what, he actually was going that well. He felt like a little bird.
I don't know what happened after the third set. I just, I fly like a little bird. Everything was working for me, and I think the emotions at the very end are and indescribable.
What does that mean? Fly like a little bird, like he was just flying.
I don't really know. I'm not sure if he's trying to quote Muhammad Ali, fly like a butterfly, whatever.
Sting like a bee.
Yeah, something like that. But he stuffed that up. So, but he didn't stuff the matchup. He's in ripping form. So well done to him.
What about the man who he beat, Raf Nadal?
Yes, well, he couldn't really understand why he went down too, but not only did he go down on the court, have a listen to this in his presser.
En el cinco iguales. Esta es la verdad. Yo creo que él ha jugado a un muy buen nivel de tenis. Yo creo que el quinto set ha sido un buen set de tenis, ¿no? Al menos.
He was Spanish.
That is in Spanish, his native tongue. He got up, he started to cramp, and he realized how hilarious it is when people cramp. So he got out of the room, came back in, but you know, it happens from time to time. Elite sports people, when broadcasting, they get cramps,
do they? And she came and sat too close to me. I've got a cramp.
Oh, no. He's got a cramp. I can't believe it.
To this day, that's still one of the funniest things I've ever witnessed.
Well, that's the credit of Rafa leaving the room, though, because it looked like you were dry humping the table. Oh. You got yours.
Well, yeah, because I normally sit down, but I had to stand up, and it happens to professional athletes.
You know it's time to call it when your mate thinks he's a comedian.
Very, very funny.
This is Billy's Joke on the Rush Hour Sunday Session.
Ah, righto. Well, here's a very good joke for you, right? Just getting it. You ready, Daze? Do you know who Willie Nelson is, by the way? Country and Western singer. Anyway.
No.
What is the worst thing Willie Nelson can say to you after you've slept with him? I'm not Willie Nelson. Because he could be anyone.
Yeah, well, why didn't you use like another celebrity? That's Dale Knows.
You could use anybody and you went with a bloke I've never heard of.
Because he looks a bit rough and ragged and a bit.
Okay. And the second one?
Right. What did Donald Trump say to his wife after he took her Viagra?
What did he say, Ben?
The erection was rigged.
Bottoms up. That was the Rush Hour Sunday Session. And if you still want more, catch the boys live or on demand on the Listener app. I feel good.